You're listening to the Whole Hog Football Podcast every Monday through Friday during the Razorbacks football training camp, bringing you the latest news, position analysis, and more. Here's your hosts, Matt Jones and Scotty Bordelon.
Football practice is off and running at Arkansas. The Razorbacks have been through four practices as of the time of recording this. They'll practice again on Tuesday without pads. They'll take Wednesday off, and then they will move to full padded practices beginning Thursday. They're going to scrimmage for the first time this weekend. Today on the Whole Hog Football Podcast, we will talk about our observations from the Razorbacks' first few practices. We've been at all of them, about 20 minutes, 25 minutes open every day. You don't get to see a whole lot, but there are some things that you're able to glean out of that time. Matt Jones with Scotty Bordelon and Andrew Joseph of WholeHogSports.com. And Scotty, let's start with you. Your observations from these first few days of practice and just maybe your overall thoughts on what you see of Arkansas football through 4 days.
I'm pretty high on Isaiah Nichols, I think, right now. And, you know, without Torian Carter, you know, he's trying to recover from a knee injury that, you know, really happened at a really bad time. You know, it was the tail end of spring. You're trying to get through your spring showcase and, you know, just kind of let people know what you've got, especially on the defensive side of the ball, and he goes down. But I think, you know, Eric Gregory and Zach Williams are returning guys that Arkansas needs a lot from. Those three guys that I mentioned, Isaiah, Eric Gregory, and Zach Williams, they're three of the four guys on the first team D-line, and Jashad Stewart's on the other end. So you feel pretty good about that group. You want to, I think, in the next couple weeks, look for, you know, a couple of other names to emerge. And it sounds like, you know, Tom Murphy reported yesterday, and it's in the Razorback report on the front page at Whole Hog Sports, that Cam Ball didn't practice on Monday because of, I believe it was a health issue during Sunday's practice. So we'll kind of keep an eye on that. But I think the depth at linebacker is pretty good, like Bumper Pool, Drew Sanders, Jordan Crook, Chris Paul, Jackson Woodard. I think that's a pretty good group of five guys. And depending on how well Manny Powell gets acclimated and adjusts to, you know, being out there with that knee brace on, you know, I think that could give you six guys that you feel at least pretty good about. We haven't seen a lot of Drew Sanders, especially like in those fastball starts, for an undisclosed reason. And Chris Paul was not practicing, I think, Saturday. He was with the linebackers, but didn't have a helmet. And so that gave opportunities for, you know, Jordan Crook, Jackson Woodard to run with the ones and the twos. That could be pretty valuable. I think on the offensive side, the O-line's in pretty good shape. Like, you like the five guys that you got back. There's a lot of returners there. And what makes you feel even better is that Tykes Crawford is just kind of waiting in the wing. I think he's a guy that can really push Dalton Wagner for that starting job by week one. He's super, super talented guy. And at receiver, I think Matt Landers has been the guy that's jumped out more than anybody. I asked Malik Chavis if there was anything about Landers, you know, aside from his speed, that kind of makes him a tough cover. And he just kept going on and on about how fast he was. And so for Malik Chavis to say that, a guy who's, you know, pretty fast in his own right, got a lot of good recovery speed, for him to say that, that's some pretty high praise.
Yeah, you mentioned Matt Landers, and his name got brought up several times in that press conference with the DBs. So I went ahead and looked up some of his stats from last year, and it looks like he was only the third leading receiver on that Toledo offense. He only had 20 catches. The top two guys had 41 and 38, but he led the team in yards per catch by a wide margin. He averaged nearly 26 yards a catch and had five touchdowns. So it seems to me that he's going to be a premier deep threat, or at least has the potential to be.
Yeah, I would assume that KJ Jefferson's pretty excited about that, because KJ, in the last couple of years, I think he's really developed and grown his accuracy, especially throwing the ball downfield. I track all of those numbers, like, you know, the depth of target and that kind of thing. 16 plus yards last year, he was pretty phenomenal. A little bit over 50%, I believe, and a good chunk of his passing yards came on those throws to, like, Treylon Burks and Warren Thompson and guys like that. I think Landers can be, you know, a really, really good deep ball threat for KJ.
Yeah, one of the things that I love to watch in these practices, it's different when it's on the practice field than when it's in the stadium. A lot of times when you're in the stadium, you're up in the seats and you don't really have a great ability to listen to what's being said on the field. when it's on the practice field, the way it's been here these first few days, you're right up next to the coaches and you're right up next to the players as they're doing a lot of their drills. You kind of stand in the end zone or off on the sideline, but a lot of times those drills, in order to maximize space, they're happening in those areas where you're standing and you're kind of having to move out of the way as they get a drill that they're beginning. And the thing that I really like doing is just kind of listening to the coaches. And one of the things that I think stands out to me about this collection of coaches is just a real fine attention to detail. I'm going to consult my notes here that I took on the field the first few days. You know, for instance, day one, I was watching a tight end drill where you had the tight ends basically running a line drill. They were running, they weren't being defended, but Dow Loggins, a former quarterback in college, is throwing them passes and, you know, they're going and catching it. And there was the one point where Colin Sutherland, who's a redshirt sophomore tight end, Dow Loggins told him to go back and restart his route three different times. He said, go back. Everything we do, we're going to do the right way. There was another point where Nathan Bax, who's probably going to be the number two tight end on this team, maybe the number one tight end and goal line and short yardage situations, a real good blocking tight end, you know, he caught a pass. But Dow Loggins, paying attention to detail, said, where'd you catch that? He said, outside the line. He said, go back. We're going to do things the right way. You had Cody Kennedy. I thought it was really fascinating watching some of the drills that he was doing with his offensive linemen and, you know, listen to some of the comments he was making to him about their second step. Basically, how if you don't get a good second step when you're an offensive lineman, you're not going to be able to pose your full power on the guy across from you. He and Sam Pittman were standing there. And I mean, you talk about fun watching coaches, watching those two go kind of back and forth at a player about his second step. Thought that was a lot of fun. You know, telling him to take a more violent second step. Cody Kennedy had a bag that he had his offensive lineman blocking, where basically you have one offensive lineman standing across from the other. And I'd never seen a blocking bag quite as small as this one. I wrote on Friday that it looked like an oversized pylon, real tall and skinny. Basically, the purpose of this bag was to get the offensive lineman to get their hands real tight on the person that they were blocking. You know, if you get a wider bag, you might not have as good of hand placement. So it's a real narrow bag that they're blocking, and they're working on their hand placement. Watch Deke Adams, the new defensive line coach, on Saturday. They're going through a drill, and the drill was about sacking the quarterback, but he went a step beyond that. He said, we're not going to settle for sacks. We want the ball out on every play. You've got to do the little things. And Scotty, you know, and we talked to Sam Pittman about this. We talked to some of the assistant coaches about this. I thought Dow Loggins' comments on Sunday afternoon saying that Sam Pittman's attention to detail is in line with Bill Parcells, who he worked with at the Dallas Cowboys. I think what you're seeing from the assistant coaches is a mandate from the top to really focus on the little things and to set a type of almost perfection in practice that they're going to have to beat these best teams in the SEC. It's been really fun to watch through a few days.
Yeah, it really has. I was paying attention pretty closely to the defensive line and Deke Adams again on Monday. And I watched Dorian Gerald go through one particular drill where what you're working on is footwork. And Dorian didn't get it exactly how Deke Adams wanted it. And before he was even through with his rep, Deke Adams blew his whistle and taught for about 30 seconds on, you know, your first step needs to be this direction. Your hands need to be here. It's a lot about foot placement, hand placement. Just getting the what may seem like minute details down can make a really big difference. And it's kind of interesting, you know, when you're surveying those different position groups, just the level of teaching is just, it varies just a little bit depending on how many returning guys or new faces you have in those groups. I think running back is a position where pretty much everybody that's in that group was here in the spring. And so they're a little bit more up to speed than, say, you know, a Jordan Dominick who's working with Deke Adams. A lot of this stuff is kind of brand new to him, and it might be slightly different or completely different than what he was, you know, being taught at Georgia Tech. And so there's a lot of drinking from the fire hose from those newcomers the first few days. I think receiver is another position where Matt Landers, Isaiah Satania, Sam Mbake, some of those new guys, they're getting up to speed. But Warren Thompson, Keytron Jackson, those guys have been here a year or multiple years, at least a spring, and they kind of know what's expected already. That to me has just been kind of interesting. But there's lots of teaching going on. And, you know, we talked to Dominic Bowman yesterday, and that's one of the things that he said that he takes you know, maybe the greatest pride in is his ability to teach the ins and outs, you know, scheme, footwork, hand placement, all that kind of stuff. Because, I mean, all those little details, if you don't get them exactly right, it could lead to, you know, fans getting to know your name on the back of your jersey and seeing that for all the wrong reasons.
You know, the reason that they're not in pads to start the practice is really out of safety concerns. You know, they want the players to be able to ease back into these. But I almost think that the coaches must like it this way because they get to spend a week with them basically teaching them technique, footwork, hand placement, all these little things that might get overlooked to a certain degree if you're in full pads and you're working on other things.
Yeah, I think as far as the assistant coaches go at Arkansas, I think it's one thing to be detail oriented, but it's another thing to be able to teach those little details. And I think it's evident. And if you've watched some of the practice footage, you can see in the individual groups, each assistant coach will not only stop the drill and tell them what they're doing wrong or what needs to be fixed, but physically show them. And whether it's Deke Adams simulating a pass rush or Dowell Loggins getting in a squat and showing them how to block, each coach is matching their words with their actions.
I'm probably going to miss some coaches here, but you know, I think that to Andrew's point and probably to Scotty's a little bit too, is that they've got really good teachers as assistant coaches right now. Maybe not at every position. You know, I mean, you're always probably, you know, going to have a weak link within your assistant coaching staff. But you know, I see a guy like Dowell Loggins, who was an NFL assistant for, gosh, 15 years or more, been an offensive coordinator in the NFL. You've got Barry Odom, who's a former SEC head coach and was a really good defensive coordinator before that. Deke Adams, a longtime assistant coach. Cody Kennedy. Scotty, these words really stood out to me when Sam Pittman was talking about Cody Kennedy after day one. He said, he is a better teacher than I ever was. That basically he has come in and done some things with them in when their offensive line moves that has made it a strength. Whereas Sam Pittman said that when he was an offensive line coach, those were some areas where teams could exploit his lines.
Yeah, that's what I'm pretty high on Arkansas's offensive line right now. And I think, you know, it's tough to be, you know, maybe markedly better than the group last year when that front five kind of paved the way for, what was it, the FBS's number one rushing attack. Like that's
number one
pretty
of the power
good.
Five. Yeah,
power five. But I mean that's kind of hard to top. But I think that in some ways I think that the group could be better this year, maybe in terms of pass protection and keeping KJ on his feet and, you know, able to survey the field a little bit longer. Going back to teaching and stuff though, I think the key is the players don't necessarily want to sit in a meeting room with a coach that just throws a substantial amount of information at them and you're like, here, absorb this. I think the key is to being a great teacher is being able to take that information and simplify it down to where you're feeling like you're not overwhelming these guys. I want to use the example of like maybe AJ Green last year. He got set back a little bit. You know, he had a lot of catching up to do, but I think one of the things that Jimmy Smith did really well was he, you know, he simplified things. And once a guy can take in that information in a simple form and then it translates to the field, you know, I think you can see guys play up to their full potential. And I think going back to the offensive line, I think Cody Kennedy does a great job of being a demonstrator when on the field, but being a really good teacher and really simplifying things for guys. That way they're playing, you know, at full speed instead of, you know, maybe 75%, and, you know, they're still a little bit in their own head.
I think offensive line is obviously always going to be a priority under Sam Pittman. At SEC Media Days, Brian Kelly was talking about Brad Davis, the former offensive line coach at Arkansas, who moved to LSU, said that if he's good enough to coach offensive line for Sam Pittman, he's good enough to coach an offensive line for me. He said that Sam Pittman was who he considered to be the greatest offensive line coach in college football. And so for Sam Pittman to say that Cody Kennedy is already better than he was at his age makes me think that Arkansas has a special one in Cody Kennedy and might want to do whatever they can to keep him on the staff.
Yeah, during the offseason, the reports were that Cody Kennedy was being targeted by Georgia after Matt Luke left Georgia following the national championship win. That probably tells you all you need to know about him and just the reputation that he has. Now, he'd been a GA at Georgia, but he was a semifinalist last year for the Broyles Award. There were 15 semifinalists for that award. He was the only one who was not an offensive coordinator. That is something that kind of stands out to you. His age is certainly something. You know, Sam Pittman said that whenever he was that age, he was probably coaching Hutchinson Junior College. And here you've got know, Cody Kennedy already has been a semifinalist for the Broyles Award, coaching an SEC offensive line. The sky seems to be the limit for him. It's usually hot this time of year at practice, but it seems like it has been really hot through the first 4 days. They might get a little bit of a reprieve on Tuesday as there's some storms that are supposed to be moving through Fayetteville. Although if you listen to Sam Pittman talk, if they have to go inside, it may be hotter inside the Walker Pavilion than it is when they go outside. He said at least outside they can get a little bit of a breeze. Inside the Walker Pavilion, believe it or not, that's a 25-year-old building and it doesn't have air conditioning. I think that's something that Sam Pittman's lobbying pretty hard for, is to get air conditioning inside that building. But one of the things that stood out to me was, I think after day one, you know, Bumper Pohl said, you know, there were a lot of guys struggling with the heat. And basically his message to them, or something that he heard being conveyed throughout the team, was you got to push through this because, you know, we're trying to get better than these other teams and they're going through the same thing right now. And they're having to push through this. And you're going to have to push through this late in the game, you know, especially early on in the season. The heat's really been a story, I think, through the first few days, Scotty. And I think that, you know, they've finally gotten to a point where it seems like maybe they're handling it a little bit better than they did on day one.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Just to kind of give an example of how hot it was, I think on Sunday I went out to practice and was shooting video, and I had my phone out the entire time, and I went to look at my phone when I was walking out, and it had that message on it that I needed to, like, my phone needed to cool down. Like, my screen was black, almost black, when I was trying to record video. It's really hot, man. And somebody asked me what I was going to be looking for on day one, and I was like, a spot in the shade, like, if possible. And I'm not really even doing anything other than getting video and taking notes. I'm not going through position drills or the fastball starts or anything, or transitioning from station to station. I think Sam said on Friday that there's a little bit more cramping than he was hoping for, but I think that's to be expected. It's like, you can do just about everything possible during the summer during workouts and conditioning to prepare yourself for this heat, but there's almost like when you're playing a 7-foot center in basketball, like, there's, unless you have one of those, it's really hard to simulate that. You know, I think that was kind of to be expected on the first day. Hudson Henry didn't finish on Friday, but he said on Saturday or Sunday that, you know, his asthma flared up. And so there's just some things like that. It's really hot. And I know the last few days that they've shortened practice to try to get out of the heat a little bit, or a little bit quicker. But, you know, I think at a certain point, you know, those guys are going to get acclimated. And I think that there'd probably be a little bit more juice with everybody, you know, in the final couple of days. I think this is the last day before a day off on Wednesday, and then Thursday they hit full pads. I think there would probably be a little bit more juice and just maybe a little bit more lively spirit, you know, going into that first padded practice, which is what everybody on the field is looking for.
We're talking football, but it's a big week for Razorback basketball too. You can come to wholehogsports.com this week and read all of our coverage from the Razorbacks exhibition games in Spain and Italy. They'll play 4 exhibitions over the course of 7 days, beginning Tuesday. They'll also play Thursday, Saturday, and next Monday. WholeHogSports.com for the latest on Razorback basketball.
For all your automotive needs, shop Landers Toyota NWA in Rogers, where we guarantee you the best buying experience and best service after the sale in Arkansas. Landers Toyota NWA in Rogers.
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Check out the Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos, podcasts, and features on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home. And take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Get it today.
Welcome back to the Whole Hog Football Podcast.
On Monday, the first coaches poll of the preseason came out. Arkansas is ranked number 23. It's the first time in 7 years that Arkansas has been ranked in the preseason coaches poll. Cincinnati, who the Razorbacks will play in the season opener on September 3rd, is ranked number 22 in that poll. Alabama's number 1, Texas A&M's number 7, and Ole Miss is number 24. The Razorbacks will play all of those teams this year. Of course, they'll play A&M in Arlington, Alabama, and Ole Miss at home. Mentioned his first time in 7 years. That was when Sam Pittman was in his final year as Arkansas's offensive line coach under Brett Bielema. Was the last time that the Razorbacks were ranked in the preseason poll, just to give you a little bit of an idea of how long ago it seems like it has been. 7 years in some ways doesn't seem like very long. And then, Scotty, when you consider some of the things that this program's been through, it seems like forever ago.
No, that was a while ago, because that was the first Arkansas football season for me after I graduated college. And it feels like I've been out of college for a long time. I think just kind of like with the projections of where Arkansas was predicted to finish in the SEC West, thought that Arkansas might fall in that 3 or 4 range just based on the momentum they built last season, winning the bowl game, bringing some key guys back, captains on each side of the ball. That was a pretty big deal. Some playmakers. I know you're losing one, but went out and got some guys that you think can help contribute on offense. And, you know, as far as the top 25 ranking, I think it's kind of a similar thing with the SEC West projection. I kind of thought that Arkansas would be in that 20 to 25 range just kind of for those same reasons. It is interesting that Cincinnati is right ahead of Arkansas and Ole Miss is right behind Arkansas. You look at the schedule, I think those are two of the more interesting games. Like, it obviously gives guys that are already hitting a wall in camp after a few tough days, or, you know, just trying to push through that, it gives them something to look forward to. Like, you're working toward a top 25 game to kick off the season. You're going to have SEC Now and all those talking heads on campus, and a lot of, you know, just a lot of national attention on that game with, you know, the way you finished last season, you know, the momentum you built, and, you know, you got a team coming in here that was in the college football playoff not too long ago. So there's that ranking for both sides, for Arkansas and Cincinnati. You know, that's something that, you know, everything that you're doing in the next couple of weeks is built toward. And that's a really, really cool way to kick off the season with a top 25 game at home.
Something that really excites me about that top 25 matchup on week one is that you get to find out a little bit more about what this team is made of in the first week of the season, as opposed to week 3 or 4, instead of playing in years past when they played like Rice, and that's not to discredit Rice or Portland State, Eastern Illinois, those kind of cupcake matchups that they scheduled to kind of ease into the season. I mean, they're going full throttle in week one. So I think you'll find out just exactly what this team's made of in the first week.
I think it adds a little bit more of a sense of urgency too, especially when camp starts to wind down.
Each day during the preseason for the next couple of weeks, we're going to have an analysis of a different position group. And today we'll start with running backs. At Jimmy Smith in the interview room the other day, talking about his group. Of course, you've got Rocket Sanders is who a lot of eyes are on right now. Dominic Johnson not able to go through first part of preseason practice as he works his way back from a knee injury that required some surgery over the offseason. Injured it during the Outback Bowl. I think most people think he probably injured it even before then, but, you know, kind of suffered more of an injury during the bowl game. Sam Pittman has said that he will go through parts of the preseason practice. Probably won't be able to play in the Cincinnati game, might not be able to go for the South Carolina game, but Pittman says that he thinks that Johnson will play the majority of the season. You know, Scotty, in listening to him earlier this year, you know, he said that he doesn't think a lot of SEC teams have feature backs anymore. But I think with where Arkansas is, number one, Sanders' talent level, they do lose Traylon Smith from last season's team, although he got passed by, I think, as the season went along last year, by some of those players who are freshmen and now are sophomores, like Sanders, like Dominic Johnson. I think Sanders is going to be the feature back, at least for the first couple, 3 weeks this season, as they try to get Johnson's strength back. And I just don't see other players that are going to take near the number of carries that Sanders will, as long as he's healthy.
No, I definitely agree with that. And I think if you look in that running back room, if you're looking at those guys and thinking about strictly pro potential, I think it's Rocket is just head and shoulders above those other guys. Not to say that Dominique couldn't turn out to be, you know, an NFL back, but I think Rocket's just, he's a different specimen. And he came to campus already really physically impressive. And somebody the other day described his physique as like sculpted. I think it's, I don't want to say Greek godlike, but it's, he's very well put together, looks the part of a back that, you know, can have success in this league. He's got the strength and the power and the speed. I just always go back to that run that he had in the spring showcase in April. He took a carry, bounced it left, and like nobody was even close to catching him. I think guys gave up like 20 yards before he got to the end zone. There's just no way you're going to catch Rocket from behind unless you're just an extraterrestrial being. It's not going to happen. But Rocket, I think he's built for, you know, the workload that I think Sam Pittman is going to give him. And I think Rocket is a guy that, you know, he gets enough carries. I think he was at close to 5 or 6 yards per carry last season. I think he's a guy that can touch the 1,000-yard mark, maybe 1,200 yards with some of those added carries that Traylon Smith's not around to get anymore. And Dominic Johnson, maybe the first couple of weeks, we'll see.
You mentioned the look, and this is really the only comparison I'm going to make here, though. The height, the weight, the number he wears, at least just look, he looks like Darren McFadden. That's the only comparison I'm making. I'm not saying he's going to be Darren McFadden, but I do think that there's a little bit of a comparison there from a physical standpoint, Scotty.
Yeah, I don't really know what else to say about Rocket other than he's just like, I think he's ready for it. And it's not just from that part that we're talking about now. It's just like the leadership aspect of it too. Like he went through a spring without Dominic Johnson, and, you know, he's kind of learned how to, you know, kind of be the alpha in a room. And I think that's probably a good word for him right now too. I think he is the alpha in that room, and I think you ride him, you know, maybe as long as you can, as hard as you can, obviously being smart about it. But I mean, I don't think anybody in the fan base, based on what they saw last season, is going to be upset if Rocket's getting 15, 20 plus carries a game. I think he's earned it. I think he's ready for it. And, you know, based on his yards per carry average last season, he's going to be productive again. Got a good offensive line in front of him too. And I think, you know, I think just having a quarterback who's also a threat to pull and run, there's going to be extra eyes on KJ to pull the ball. And, you know, if his RPO reads are solid enough, I think Rocket can have a really big year.
You can have running backs who are undersized who can be great running backs. You can have, you know, of all different shapes and sizes. But I think that when you look over the SEC and say the last 20, 25 years, there's just a certain look of a running back. You know what I mean? You know, whether it be a Cadillac Williams at Auburn or a Nick Chubb at Georgia or, you know, some of these great ones that Alabama's had, there's just sort of a certain look. And he looks like those types of running backs that these programs that have produce the great ones that they have. I don't know what to say about. I don't know how to put my finger on it. I guess what I'm trying to say, he just has that certain look that I think you'd be pulling from, you know, some of these stacked backfields at other SEC programs.
Yeah, I'm with you there. When I think, maybe it's just my youth showing here, but when I think of an SEC tailback, I kind of go to Mark Ingram at Alabama, mm-hmm. And I think. Rocket has some of those physical qualities. I think he's taller,
right,
than Mark Ingram was, but powerful lower body, you know, just arms that you feel like you'd break fingers trying to strip a ball from him. Just that kind of a back, just a great mix of power and speed. And I don't think there's really, may have a little bit of finesse, but I think finesse is probably third here as far as like power and speed goes. But yeah, I think Rocket's going to be special, and I think he can honestly be the next great back here. I think Rocket's going to get called to the NFL one of these days, and I hope nobody else wears number 5 at tailback.
Of course, we mentioned Dominic Johnson's out. AJ Green's a player who comes back, touched it I think 47 times last year in the running game. Of course, he caught some passes, had that big touchdown catch against Texas A&M that, you know, kind of gave Arkansas some cushion in the second quarter in Arlington. How much do you think he is still and I think I've said this before, I don't really like this term, but a change of pace back. How much do you think there is of that with him? And how much more do you think his carry total increases? Because I think it's going to increase some. It's just, I still don't see him being that type of guy that's going to touch it maybe double digit times a game.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, we saw what AJ can do last season, whether it was, you know, catching the swing pass out of the backfield at A&M and bouncing off a tackler who, you know, wasn't fully committed to making the tackle. And then the run against Texas, he just made everybody on the field look slow. And I know the Texas defenders were probably, their minds were probably halfway home at that point in the game, but he still made them look slow. And I think it's a big deal that AJ gets a full camp and that he's healthy, because that's what set him back last year. And you saw some flashes from AJ, but I think he was probably in that 70 to 75% range. And I think it showed up most on kickoff returns, just because he was got a little bit of a setback, wasn't full speed, thinking too much. And kind of what I was talking about earlier, when a guy feels more comfortable and feels more knowledgeable with the details, he can play at full speed and show off that track speed that he has. And when he's got the ball in space, he can be electric. But I'm with you. I think after Rocket, I would imagine that they would split, like, maybe those secondary carries, you know, between either right now, you know, AJ would probably be in line for those secondary carries. I don't know if Javion Hunt can make a leap or not. Rashad Dabinion's another option. But whenever Dominic Johnson gets back, I would think that AJ and Dom kind of take those secondary carries, because Rocket right now, I think, is deserving and is going to get, you know, most of those at this point in time.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting hearing Jimmy Smith talk about how ideally he would split up the carries in the running back room, just because when you have that many talented guys in the backfield, you would maybe assume that it's going to be a running back by committee and that they would distribute the ball a little more evenly. But he went ahead and said that Rocket is, as of right now, the way Rocket's been running the ball, he's going to be the main guy, the feature guy, until someone can beat him out in practice or beat him out in a game. And I think when you have as many talented guys in that backfield, that the competition's only going to make each one of them better. When we talked to AJ Green, he didn't seem like a guy that was worried about not getting his carries this season. And Jimmy Smith spoke glowingly of him and his progression. So I think he's a guy that I would look for to take a big step forward this year. And I think his carry total hinges largely on when Dominique Johnson comes back and how healthy he comes back.
I think AJ Green is one to really watch in special teams, especially kick return. I don't know that he's a punt returner, but in the kick return game, I think he's one that can, you know, potentially really add something there. I'll tell you where I'm really interested to watch this running back group is in the short yardage situations when Johnson is not playing. You know, that's where he added so much value last year, whether it be, you know, a third and two or a first and goal from the three. You know, he was just really good in those short yardage situations. And I think that's going to be one area where Rocket Sanders is going to have to improve his game. And it may be an area where we see KJ Jefferson carrying the ball more.
Yeah, I think you got some great options there, like especially if Dom gets back. Like whoever they put in those short yardage situations, it might be predicated just on what the play call is. You know, like if you got just a couple yards, you know, snap to KJ, let him read. And, you know, Rocket, he has that nickname for a reason, man. Like he can get you a couple yards in an instant. And he's a guy that, like I said earlier, got a lot of power and strength in his lower half. He can fall forward for a couple yards there. And, you know, you might see him bounce runs outside too in those short yardage areas. And, you know, he's more than capable of doing that. I think Dom would be the guy most likely in those short yardage situations when he's healthy to, you know, maybe run between the tackles or, you know, maybe off guard or something along those lines. I think AJ Green could be an option too, maybe in the option game. I know Arkansas doesn't exactly do a whole lot of like speed option out of that shotgun formation that they run a lot, but anytime you can get AJ Green in space, I think it's an obvious plus.
It feels odd to say this about a team that doesn't run the option, but the quarterbacks are an extension of Arkansas's running back room, whether it be KJ Jefferson on the field, Malik Hornsby. Both of them obviously have good running ability. And it wouldn't surprise me at all to see some of these speedy receivers that we've talked about, you know, like an Isaiah Satania, or, you know, maybe even a Jaden Hazelwood.
Matt Landers too, possibly.
Yeah, Landers. We've seen with Bryles that he's not afraid to snap it to pretty much any 11 players who are on the field, maybe any 10 who aren't the center. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, it wouldn't surprise me to see some of those receivers play into the run game out of like a, you know, basically a wildcat formation either.
The speed that they've brought in at the wide receiver position is, I think, a step above what they've maybe had in the past with elite sprinters like Isaiah Satania, Matt Landers, and Bryce Stevens, who's been here a year. I think that they have the potential to all just burn you deep, especially when the defenses are creeping up to play against that potent rushing attack.
Yeah, I don't have any doubt that Kendall is going to utilize, you know, all of the gifts that his guys have. And I think Satania is like a perfect option to do that because he's not the biggest guy in the world. Can be a little bit of a, I don't know, maybe with the ball in his hands can be a little bit of a scat back type look, you know, handing the ball off or pitching the ball to him forward. Yeah, I think Landers is another option that I really like just because all we've heard, like we haven't honestly seen just a whole lot of Landers in terms of what kind of a route runner and that kind of thing he is, but we've heard about his speed. And I think Kendall this year, maybe more than past years, is maybe focused on Malik Hornsby is another option too. I think just all use the weapons that you have. I mean, they're not going to serve you well or produce for you if they're standing next to you.
We saw Isaiah Satania at Fayetteville take a lot of direct snaps, end arounds, things of that nature. He certainly was a threat in a run game in high school, probably could be in the college game too. We'll be back with another Whole Hog Football podcast tomorrow. We'll talk about today's practice, and we'll talk about the tight ends a little bit more in depth. For Scotty Bordelon and Andrew Joseph, I'm Matt Jones. Go to WholeHogSports.com for our latest Razorback coverage, and we'll see you tomorrow on the Whole Hog Football podcast.
The proceeding has been a production of WholeHogSports.com. Look for our latest podcasts on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at WholeHogSports.com for the latest news and commentary.